This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. New Beginnings topics include end-of-life concerns, health of mind, body, and spirit, housing, finance, and your career. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell. Glad you're with us today. And with us now as we start our program, as we do each week, is a co-host on New Beginnings, Mr. Joe McKenzie, the founder of Ripple Connects. He's our career expert, and we're talking about helping you with your career with some really wonderful advice and some insights. RippleConnects.com is where you can find him online, or 763-438-1621. Good morning, Joe McKenzie.
Good morning, Freddie Bell. How are you?
Unbelievable. Glad you're with us. And we want to talk really directly this morning about integrating your career story into your job search. As we start to think about this, Joe, how do you begin to integrate your own career story into your job search? And I have a follow-up question.
Okay. You start by understanding your career journey in a lot of ways, and you bring the human element to your job search. Often we network, we talk to other people about what we want to do next, but we leave off our story because we want to get down to the nuts and bolts of where we've been, what positions we held. But Freddie, often our careers, they have a story to them. We all have a story. Freddie, I can directly attribute to where I am today now to the 2008 financial crisis. And how is that? I was working in a credit union that had to merge because of the financial crisis. And because of that, I had to pivot to working more with people, individuals, and career transition. Discovered my mentor who helped me to volunteer to speak about many of the topics that I speak to today to the New Beginnings listeners. That's my story. People think that's pretty intriguing. But if you look at my resume, none of that's in there. The human side of my journey, my career story, has helped me to grow my company and grow as a professional. That's how I, Joe McKenzie, integrated my own career story into job search opportunities that I created for myself.
Interesting. Everybody, we're talking about how to integrate your career story into your job search. And I mentioned that I had a follow-up question to that.
Yes.
So how does your career story differ, or how is it similar to your resume?
I mean, it parallels it, obviously, with the timeline. But unless you overlay things that, you know, it's happened in your life or something that's happened in the world. If we look at it too closely, all we see where we've been, but how soon we forgot about the financial crisis, or maybe 5 years from now when we talk about COVID and how that has impacted people's careers, we see what we want to see. It's our job to overlay our career story on changes in our own life. I can honestly say that when I became a father of triplets 19 years ago, my career goals and balance in life were critical. That's not going to show up in my resume, but it will be reflected on where I wanted to take, where I was at that point, and then the career journey after that. That's really what I'm saying here. The difference is, resume is where you've been. The career story is really the human side of what you were up against, what you wanted to do, what impacted the world, Freddie. If it's the financial crisis or COVID or something else down the road, we've all been impacted by it, right?
We have, in one way or the other.
And that includes, you know, maybe job loss or having to do something different. I've talked about it on New Beginnings about the different industry sectors that may never look like they were at the beginning of this year. Well, there's a human being that's been impacted by one of those industry sectors that may have an opportunity now to kind of overlay why they're making a change, why I want to go from this industry to that industry. Well, it can be often it can be related to events out of our control or in our lives. Maybe we had to travel. Maybe we had to move. Maybe we had to spend time with an elderly parent that needed our attention. And that was, in my case, that was that too. That's how my company started. I needed that flexibility to spend time with my elderly father. That's a part of a career story that I integrated into my own job search.
Can your own story get too personal, or is that even a possibility of being too personal since the interviewer is seeking to learn more about you as a person?
Remember, a professional job search is something that you allow them to understand your why and why you did it. But you do need to make sure that you measured and make sure that you keep it on a professional level and maybe why I needed to make a change because of family, why I saw something coming due to this external force, either COVID or 12 years ago at the financial crisis. Definitely keep it on a professional level in regards to your job search. And that job search is, you know, talking to employers, but also talking to your bench of advocates in your greater network.
So keeping it professional is a key to this. So that's one guideline. What would be some other guidelines that you'd recommend to a job seeker, Joe McKenzie?
Just embrace it. I know that it may be an unorthodox approach, but again, this program that I talked about, we're basically, you know, revisiting your career story. I got more feedback out of this segment than I have at any segment this year. And I must have struck a chord with people to think that, hey, I'm there too, just like what Joe was saying. And I do think that that person hearing us today, Freddie, is going to say, yeah, my career story is something that needs to be told and understood by people. Again, if we look too closely with the microscope and all we see is I worked here from 2008 to 2012 and then, you know, that timeline, there's so many things happen in the world. Technology changes. You know, there's disruptions. We need to make sure that we integrate it, especially in regards to why we're wanting to be in a different role or different organization, Freddie. That's us. That's our being. That's who we are. And I think any employer, anybody in your network, anybody on your bench of advocates that's hearing this for the first time will definitely see why you're doing what you're going to do. You know, I had a lot of people push back and say, why would you leave the office equipment industry after 15 years? Well, my life changed. My family life changed. Mm-hmm. I wanted more balance. That's
really
not going to show up on a resume, but it'll definitely show up in my career story. And people understood my why I wanted to pivot to something different. I didn't want to be working 70 hours a week when I have young kids at home. I wanted more balance. I wanted to do something different. This was my opportunity.
Interesting. We're talking with Joe McKenzie about integrating your career story into your job search. Joe McKenzie, is this a memorized narrative that you share with the potential employer?
I think you should have two or three talking points that you want to hit on. And practice with your advocates, bench of advocates, run some of those talking points by them, ask them what they think. Remember, those advocates are going to be honest with you. They're going to be good listeners if they're going to be on your bench of advocates. Run some scenarios by them on why you're changing industries or wanting to do something new. Let them be your focus group. But they'll be honest with you if they listened well, and they'll give you that feedback. But I think you keep it natural. I didn't know exactly what we were just going to talk about, but I do think it came across effectively because really I captured the essence of what 2008 did to me. What it did for me was open up a whole new world of what I could become because of an external event of the financial crisis where it was turned upside down. I wanted to make it come across as authentic and real and professional.
Joe, share with us the benefit that a job seeker would gain from integrating their career story into a job search.
You may open up new opportunities that you may may have never imagined. You know, a couple weeks ago, we talked about landing and expanding into an opportunity, get your foot in the door. It might be where an organization sees the real you, not just the resume you. And that might open up opportunities, maybe not immediately, but down the road that may come to fruition. So that would be, I think, some of the long-term benefits of integrating your career story within your, you know, your experience, your knowledge, your skills.
Wow. And if you missed any of this, you can go online to www.freddiebell.com and listen to our podcast. Joe McKenzie, you do wonderful work at New Beginnings.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. Yes, we turn candidates into contenders.
And that's our story, and we're sticking to it as New Beginnings continues.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
Sister Spokesman.
Hey, ladies, have you ever wanted a place where you could network, shop, eat, laugh, and learn? Sister Spokesman is that place. Held the first Saturday of every month, Sister Spokesman takes place from 12 to 4 p.m. at various locations throughout the Twin Cities. And it's sponsored by the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder. Vendor opportunities are also available. For more information, 612-827-4021 or online at spokesman-recorder.com.
Sister Spokesman.
You're listening to New Beginnings on AM 950. And I want to continue right here and give you some information about AARP. There's always more to discover with your AARP membership. You have access to a wide variety of carefully chosen discounts, information, and services, and an advocate for important issues like Medicare and Social Security. Here are just some of the other member benefits from AARP. Insurance, access to auto, dental, home, life, vision, and other quality coverage for your health needs from top companies, including the AARP Dental Insurance Plan, administered by Delta Dental Insurance Company. How about family caregiving? We talked about that earlier. Care guides, simple checklists, support options, and other free resources designed to help you care for your loved ones, all available online through AARP family caregiving sites. And also health and wellness, brain health tips, online tools, savings for eye exams and eyewear, and a free annual hearing test by phone. You also can get work and jobs, resources to help you find a second career or part-time work, plus access to the AARP job board, a job search tool for workers who are 50 years old and over. I know you love to travel. Vacation ideas for every budget and discounts on hotels and car rentals, flights from British Airways, vacation packages, and more. And, of course, finances. You can find online calculators to help you manage your finances, access to money management tips, and more. Explore all of your benefits with the easy-to-use enhanced destination. That's AARP.org/benefits. You can download their free app right now for your digital membership card, daily news, local events, and benefits in your area.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And with us now, as we turn our attention to your health, we're talking with Chris Erisman. She is the director of the Minnesota Department of Health, Infectious Disease, Epidemiology, Prevention, and Control Division. A long title, but Chris, we can't thank you enough for being with us. Good morning and welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to join you.
Chris, what would you say to someone who is afraid of getting tested or treated for COVID because they simply just do not have health insurance?
Well, I want people to know that there are definitely resources that can help you. The state is offering a number of barrier-free opportunities for people to get tested, and these are listed on our website. So that that is definitely an option for people to get tested, and they should not have to worry about the costs of getting tested. And if you do develop signs and symptoms of COVID, it's very important that yes, you get tested and that you also seek treatment. And so, we want people to not feel like they can't get care. And so if you're feeling that, certainly you should continue to reach out to your healthcare provider.
Chris, I'm hearing that is a big concern, especially in communities of color and people who are older in our community. This show is primarily designed for baby boomers and those who care for their parents and maybe care for their own children. But I'm hearing that testing is one aspect of being safe with COVID. But when it comes to the treatment, if I've got that positive test that comes back, the positive result, I don't have anywhere to go for treatment. What does the MDH say about that?
Well, we would encourage you, first of all, one thing that you should do now is just, when you're feeling great, just check the status of your insurance or of your loved one's insurance, just so you're aware of what you do have. If you don't have an employer-paid insurance, then we'd recommend looking to MinSure, Minnesota Care, Medical Assistance or Medicaid, some of those programs, and they can be accessed through the Department of Human Services. And so those would be resources for people as well.
Are there resources you're talking about that, and those are some great resources, and I know that people are taking advantage of those, but what about if you are caring for someone, maybe you're caring for an elderly parent, and you live in the same household or somewhere close by, and you're the primary caregiver for that individual? Are there resources for those individuals who can't go to work or they have reduced hours because of that care that they're giving for that loved one?
Well, one thing that we have tried to make available, and we do this in partnership with our local public health departments, and that is to provide some level of essential services. So when someone is called, for their interview, when they test positive for COVID, the team will say, do you have any needs? Are there any ways that we could help you? And so that would be an opportunity to say, yeah, we need help with buying groceries, or we need help with something else. And then that is an opportunity for our public health system to try and meet those needs of those individuals. And, we do, looking back on the first months of the pandemic, there are a fair number in our population who take advantage of that. So, 6 or 7% of all the people that we call say, yeah, we need help. And we are happy to work with them to see how we can help meet their needs.
Everyone, we're talking with Chris Harrisman, director of MDH Infectious Disease, and we're talking about assisted care and what to do with if you don't have health insurance. But I'm also thinking about those who are in assisted living facilities. And we noticed that, just since COVID began, that the high number of infection rates and people who are passing away, our family and friends, are in assisted care facilities. Why is that happening so prevalently, and what is being done to stem that particular tide and instances of COVID-19?
Well, thanks for bringing that up. That's a real been a real concern of ours, and certainly in the spring we were seeing a lot of cases in those facilities, and we really have worked with our long-term care facilities and our assisted living to help provide them with resources, both practical things like personal protective equipment, but then also training and education on infection prevention and things like that. And as a result of that, we started to see really great progress and a reduction in the number of cases that we were seeing in those locations. Now, unfortunately, with this explosion in cases that we're seeing across the state, we're starting to see more cases in those facilities. And so we're continuing to work with them. We have teams that are helping to provide backup staffing when they hit a staffing crisis to make sure that they have personal protective equipment, all of those things. I think the things that we can do as family members and loved ones are, first of all, make sure that we are being exceptionally cautious when we are interacting with our loved ones. So, masking, good hand washing, all of those things. The other thing, though, is that as good as the preparation is in the facility and as strong as the supports may be that we offer, when the transmission is so high in the community, it makes it really challenging to stem the tide. And so that's why it's so important that all of us in our day-to-day decisions are choosing things that will help slow the transmission of COVID. Because we're working hard to make sure our elders are cared for, but it's really difficult with a lot of transmission in the community.
It's interesting. I know that the PPE helps in that regard and social distancing, but I'm wondering how close is additional help on the way? I know that Minnesota has been the lead with saliva testing and getting a number of tests done in a compressed period of time. Might there be more help around the corner for us as a state of Minnesota and even the nation? We are leaders in healthcare. What can you tell us about what could be coming in the next several months?
Well, we are working really hard to make sure that we're being creative in how we can provide healthcare resources, and so having staffing solutions for long-term care. It is true, though, that with the high number of cases of COVID, that makes it hard for our healthcare system to have the staff that they need to be able to staff beds. And so, so many heroes in our community are making decisions in their personal lives that will help to keep them safe from COVID. But please keep in mind that, your choices are for your own sake and also so that you don't inadvertently infect someone who's a healthcare worker that we need so desperately.
That makes a lot of sense. And my last question this morning has to do with vaccines. I know there's been a lot of talk with the work going on with Moderna and AstraZeneca and so forth, and many others who have come to the table. Is there anything promising that we can see with vaccine? And even if something happens, let's say in the next 90 days to 6 months, how long would it take for our friends in Minnesota to have that herd mentality or herd immunity, I should say, that would come from a vaccine from any one of these medical manufacturers?
Well, certainly there's a lot of positive news in the area of vaccines. There are a couple of manufacturers, as you mentioned, who look to be able to hopefully provide data to the FDA in the next weeks to be able to seek emergency use authorization or special approval for those vaccines. We know that when the vaccine is first made available, it will be in fairly limited supply, so it will be targeted likely to our healthcare workers and other essential service personnel. And then as we move from that, as more vaccine becomes available, we'll be looking at our populations who are at greatest risk for severe disease. But ultimately, we're hoping that, in 2021, there will be vaccine available for all of us. So that's kind of the hope as we go forward in 2021. And, I can't say for certain, what will it take to get to herd immunity, because some of the vaccines will help to reduce symptoms. And that's good, because then if you don't have symptoms, you're not going to end up in the hospital. But we need to have a vaccine that not only prevents the symptoms and disease, but also the chance of transmission. And so we'll keep looking. We'll be watching to see what the characteristics are of those vaccines. And then that will give us a better idea of when we can say that the light at the end of the tunnel is really bright. Right now, we have a light at the end of the tunnel. It's kind of a pinprick, but we're really delighted at the progress that's being made.
I love your analogy. And Chris Erisman, I can't thank you enough for being with us. And here comes a long title, everyone. The director of the Minnesota Department of Health, Infectious Disease, Epidemiology, Prevention, and Control Division. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Oh, happy to be with you. And Chris is really just fine with me.
Okay. Thank you so much, Chris. And you're listening to New Beginnings.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Good morning again, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell, and welcome back to New Beginnings. As we continue our conversation now, we turn our attention to Cheryl Salo. She is a state coordinator for Minnesota AARP Driver Safety. And this is really exciting to be talking about driver safety, and I'll tell you why. I just took a AARP driving course to lower my rates for my insurance that I pay for my car. And I'm just wondering if you can talk about the value of the driver safety course for those who are 55 and over.
Thank you, Mr. Bell, for having me today. I am very excited and enthusiastic to be able to talk about the driver safety program in Minnesota. For any drivers who are over the age of 55, Minnesota is a mandated state, which means if they take a driver safety course once every 3 years, they can get 10% off on their car insurance.
Mm.
So initially, it's an 8-hour course. The first time is 8 hours. It doesn't take that long. And then after that, every 3 years, you take a 4-hour course.
It's really interesting that you said it doesn't take that long. Cheryl, I will tell you that I believe when I took that course, it took me every bit of 8 hours, if not 10, to go through, because I think I'm a slow learner. I wanted to make sure that I was covering all the bases. So what's the value for this course? What can drivers who have been driving all this time learn from this course that they don't get from just everyday experience?
Well, the thing is that, you know, so many things are changing as we add years. Our abilities change. We have to deal with things like our health and our vision and maybe the difficulty getting in and out of our vehicles. So we address some of that. Vehicles are changing all the time. And when I teach classes, I always tell people that if you're out shopping for a new car, very often you might be test driving and all of a sudden the car starts to take control and you don't know why, or something starts to beep or buzz and you don't know why. So we do spend some time explaining that. We talk about roads and the things that are changing in Minnesota. One of the big things for a number of years now are there are many, many more roundabouts. And then, of course, we do go into the state laws and things like that that are very important to us.
Everyone, we're talking with Cheryl Salo. She is the state coordinator for Minnesota's AARP Driver Safety Program. Talk about the crash rates for seniors. I know that there's some people who are listening right now, Cheryl, who will say that, you know, I've never had an accident in my life. I've had some near misses, but I think the near misses might be a clue that this course could be helpful because it alerts you to ideas that you may not have considered before.
That's exactly right, Mr. Bell. In Minnesota, 14% of the population is over 65, but the deaths are, they account for 20% of the deaths.
Oh, my.
So some of the things that are the challenges, of course, for older drivers, and this is a big one for anyone over 65, is failing to yield the right of way.
Mm.
And then, of course, driver distractions. And it's helped somewhat since the hands-free law went into effect in August of 2019, because people no longer can hang on to their phone. So they are somewhat forced to pay a little bit more attention to what's going on the roads. But there are so many things that can be distracting to us. There's so much other traffic. There are bicycles. There are pedestrians, all of those kinds of things. One of the other things, and it's particularly in metropolitan areas, is that drivers very often have a difficult time making left turns at intersections. Should they go into the intersection? Should they wait? And if they wait too long, sometimes that makes them more accident prone. So we recommend that it might be easier if they make three right turns.
Mm.
Another thing that gets to be a problem again is merging into traffic lanes. For instance, getting onto the freeways and so on. Some people have some hesitancy, and that can certainly create issues with traffic accidents and so on. And another big issue is people get older. Driving at dusk and dawn can be rather difficult, and recommendations on how to do that, perhaps not driving at night and various situations like that.
Sounds like a really robust course. How can we access the course and take that and get that 10% discount?
Well, unfortunately, we don't have in-person courses right now and won't have until March 1st. But there is a website that's www.aarpdriversafety.org.
Driversafety.org.
And that will take you directly to the online course. And I think, Mr. Bell, the online course sometimes does take a bit longer than taking the classroom course. So that's probably why it took you a little bit longer to complete the 8 hour.
You are so kind. We're with Cheryl Salo, the state coordinator for Minnesota AARP Driver Safety, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
Freddie welcomes Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis.
What a wonderful program we're having so far, and it doesn't stop. Now we introduce Kelly Von Heidekamp, the founder of West Metro Hypnosis, online westmetrohypnosis.com, and also 952-222-3975. You can pick up the telephone and just simply give her a call. Good morning, Kelly. And which direction are you taking this morning with a mindful reset?
Well, Freddie, it's always a pleasure to be here to spend time with you and to really not only offer your listeners a few minutes to kind of reset and become present, but it's a good reminder for me as well. So let's just take a few moments together to breathe in deeply, using an inhale to fill up and using your exhale to slowly let go. Using this time to go inward. And if it's safe and appropriate, closing down your eyes now can sometimes make it easier to make that inward journey. And it's not that you have to go looking for anything in particular. You can use this time to, even if you're driving in traffic, to just become more observant. Observant in the way you use your breath, in the way that you can use this opportunity to slow down and deepen your breathing. And as you do that, to observe what effect it has on you when you consciously decide to fuel your body with energy and breath. When you give yourself a few minutes to just reset, using that word, this opportunity, and to give it meaning for you, for yourself, so that if you are transitioning from one thing to another, you can make a beneficial choice in how you will do that. Meaning if you're coming home from work, perhaps, and need to move into the role of parent, caregiver, partner, that you can set aside the stressors of the day right now, the stressors of the last few hours, whatever it is that you were doing before, and you can fill up, just as you fill up your lungs with a new breath, you can fill yourself up, reminding yourself right now that it is a new opportunity, that you can be the person you wish to be, that you can show up in ways you wish to show up. And if you were to make that choice right now, what is it that would benefit you most? Moving into the next few hours of your day? Is it more patience? resilience, the reminder that your body knows how to be healthy, knows and is aware of its strong immunity? Is it tenacity, focus, commitment? What is it that would benefit you most? And when you give yourself the opportunity to spend a few moments just giving yourself that which you need most right now, what effect does that have on you? When you give yourself the time and the space to show yourself just a little bit of kindness, self-care, and love. Breathing in one last time, slowly, deeply, and now more ready to move forward boldly into the rest of your day. Thanks for being here.
And thank you, Kelly. You can find her online, as I mentioned, westmetrohypnosis.com. We'll be right back.
Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi again, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell. Glad you're with us this weekend. And let's talk now about your health, specifically about how to tell the difference between normal forgetfulness and dementia. We contacted the Sunrise Living Center, who tells us that forgetting things occasionally is a part of life. It's why many people may have reminders on their smartphones or sticky notes on their refrigerators. They say as people get older, they might experience more frequent instances of memory loss, but this is often a normal part of aging. So how can aging adults tell if they're going through the symptoms of dementia? And how do they know when it's time to tell a doctor? Well, Megan Ray from the Sunrise Senior Living Center is offering some tips on how to tell normal forgetfulness from dementia. Number one, normal age-related symptoms. Now, these problems can be frustrating, but they're not very serious and certainly aren't any cause for alarm. Forgetfulness comes with age. Some typical memory loss symptoms common in older adults include transience or absent-mindedness. Harvard Medical School says that these two conditions are a normal part of the aging process. Transience is when the brain forgets some memories over time. According to the school, this could actually be a good thing because it means the brain is removing unused memories to make room for new ones. Absent-mindedness is similar in that it relates to your brain's focus. For example, forgetting an appointment might happen simply because you weren't preoccupied with the thought of it. Forgetfulness and other mental issues. According to the National Institute on Aging, there are many other health conditions that could contribute to memory loss. For example, people with depression are sometimes mistaken for having the symptoms of dementia. One reason for this may be that a person dealing with depression might be extremely occupied with the cause of their sadness and anxiety. Constantly worrying about or obsessing over a recent tragedy, for example, can lead to forgetfulness of other topics. Potential signs of dementia? Unlike normal age-related forgetfulness, memory loss linked to dementia is progressive. That according to Dr. William W. Pendlebury, who is a professor at the University of Vermont. He says these issues can get steadily worse and that the patient eventually has to move to assisted living facilities because that individual can no longer live on his own. Forgetting important information. The symptoms of dementia go well beyond merely forgetting where an object was placed or when an appointment was scheduled. Pendlebury goes on to say that symptoms include forgetting names of friends and loved ones and an inability to remember some words. When an older adult shows these signs of extreme forgetfulness, it's a good idea to schedule a visit with the doctor. Personality change. According to the Alzheimer's Association, people with dementia might experience major changes in personality. For example, a senior in the middle stages of dementia could suddenly be more prone to aggressive behavior, paranoia, or impulsiveness. Often, this is the hardest part of the disease for caregivers to deal with. The association also says that it is normal for senior caregivers to feel stressed out by these symptoms. As such, it should be wise to consider using respite care services if it becomes overwhelming. And finally, disorientation. Another common symptom of dementia is the tendency to become disoriented in new environments. The University of Illinois says this disorientation extends to both place and time. If an older adult with dementia moves to a new location, the unfamiliar stimuli may induce a feeling of insecurity. When disoriented, seniors with dementia might appear lost to onlookers and become easily aggravated with their caregivers. Age-related memory loss and dementia are very different conditions, though they may share some overlap in symptoms. However, normal forgetfulness is often caused by a lack of focus, and it never progresses into serious territory. Dementia, on the other hand, will get worse over time. Now, if you're uncertain about your symptoms, schedule an appointment with your doctor. I'm Freddie Bell, and you're listening to New Beginnings. As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is the Reverend James Stacy with a lesson already in progress.
So today we will not be exploring methods of prayer, nor the history of prayer within religious traditions. Instead, I'd like us to consider the potential and the effects of a consciousness and consistent pattern of thought that Unity calls prayer. In the beginning of our Unity tradition, I believe there was a balanced presentation of the practice of prayer for one's own inner development and as a blessing that we extended to others. One of our longest activities in the Unity movement is our international prayer ministry known as Silent Unity. It began in 1890 as an invitation to people to come together and hold a focused thought. The thought was published by Unity's monthly magazine, Unity, so everybody knew what the focus would be. And people who were willing gathered at noon and again at 9 p.m. each day to collectively join in that thought of silent unity, that oneness found in prayer. The thought, later described as a prayer of affirmation or release, was a benefit to the individual and to lift the collective consciousness of humanity. In other words, it was a thought that linked the individual and the collective with a truth principle, an idea that grasped the eternal or lasting qualities of life. I hope you notice the distinction of prayer for the individual and the community in our very order of service every Sunday. We join in a community prayer that focuses on a collective affirmative idea for our church, our community, our nation, our world. And I will often, in contrast, at the end of a lesson, invite you into a visualization or inner prayer that is for your own development, for your own inner imagination of how your life is evolving. So we have a time that we pray together for the good of all, and then we have a time that we pray individually for our own understanding, peace, healing, and development. Now, before I give a long history lesson, let me give a relevant example. As I entered our church building early this morning, I saw the many beautiful plants and flowers coming up in our landscape. The tulips outside are budding. The Lenten roses are blooming. The forsythia is bright yellow. A peony bush outside my office is growing rapidly. I stopped for a moment and thought, as humanity is suffering through this world pandemic, nature everywhere is showing us its life force, throwing out a so-called lifeline to lift us from despair, worry, or hopelessness. Life goes on and on. So in Unity's understanding of prayer, it is to grasp in thought and feeling an idea of lasting, ongoing qualities, and then to see ourselves as an important part of that ongoing life. Therefore, this morning, I said to myself, within the natural world, life is springing forth with power and beauty. The world is being reborn, and I am a part of this world. The same forces of growth and renewing life are active in me now. I am continually being healed by life. And then I remembered that psalm. My thoughts are prayers, and I am always praying. I might say to myself, I am always creating my experience by how I see myself in the great picture of life that God has created and has created me as a part of that great life. Let's turn now to the potential benefits of a prayer process on our individual life. We consider the human spiritual being to be body, soul, and spirit. So how can prayer be a healing for our body, soul, and spirit? For several decades, research has been conducted on the benefit to the body through the practice of prayer and meditation. The simple focus on our body's rhythmic breathing and pulse of the heart can bring calm to the body and peace to the mind. We simply allow ourselves to rest in that natural rhythm of life that sustains us with each breath and with each heartbeat. Several universities over time have conducted research, even specifically with silent unity. It has a history, silent unity, of a nonstop vigil of prayer that it has maintained for almost 130 years. That prayer has never ceased in more than a century. Every year, millions of people call on Silent Unity for prayer support. So it has provided a rich opportunity for research into the benefits of prayer. In addition to physical benefits to the body, prayer can support peace of mind and heart. Our soul life or inner life can experience the release of anxiety and the empowerment of hope and inspiration. Third, our spirit, that which we consider to be our essential self, our higher truth, the very core of our existence, is also benefited by prayer that focuses on our connection with the infinite, the everlasting, the all possibility of life, existence itself. Paul described it for the people of Athens as he spoke, God in which we live and move and have our very being.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the Senior Minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your child's doctor about staying on track with recommended vaccines during this COVID-19 pandemic.
This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.